Welcome to Awaken Radio. I am your host, Connie Chapman, and each week I bring you inspiring interviews and heart-opening conversations with experts and thought leaders from all over the world. Awaken Radio is your online destination for wisdom and inspiration that will support you to live a life beyond your wildest dreams. Hello everyone, this is Connie and welcome to another episode of Awaken Radio. It is awesome to be here with you. And I'm really excited to share today's conversation with you because we're going to be opening up a bit of a dialogue around feminine energy, around relationships, sexuality and sensuality, and the impact that this can have on our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with others. Now, I personally have been going on a bit of a journey probably over the past 6 months of really dropping into a deeper connection with my feminine energy and exploring everything that comes along with that and exploring my relationship with myself and then how I show up with others. And it has honestly been transformative for me. So I'm really excited to be speaking to someone today who can really open up this conversation to all of you as well. I'm chatting to Rosie Rees, who is a leading relationship coach, Kundalini yoga teacher, sexuality, spirituality blogger, and woman energy workshop facilitator based in Perth. The core of Rosie's message is about building one's relationship with self in order to create happier and healthier relationships with their partners or simply to feel more empowered being single. Rosie's 7-week chakra coaching program helps clients reconnect with themselves on a deeper level and heal any blockages in their energy centers, relationships, and other aspects of their lives. She does this through powerful strategic intervention one-on-one coaching, guided meditations, energetic cord cutting with ex-partners, as well as Kundalini kriyas to help heal any old patterns or woundings. Rosie is a singles advocate, having been single for over 2 years herself, and helps clients embody more confidence, sexiness, worthiness, and empowerment on their single journey. Clients who need assistance processing a breakup or divorce or even a messy Tinder situation also gravitate towards Rosie in order to build up the courage and strength to make the decision and follow through with it, often a very difficult process to go through. Now, you can find Rosie on the beautiful Western Australia beaches, soaking up the sun, teaching her new creation, sexy yoga, once a week, and running monthly Womenergy workshop circles, bringing together like-minded women to move, shake, and heal in a sacred space doing Kundalini yoga. Now, that just sounds so delicious. So, Rosie, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, Connie, I'm so excited to be here today as well. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, this is going to be a beautiful conversation for women because I've found as I've been going on my journey, I'm naturally kind of sharing a lot of my own experiences with women and there are so many women really wanting to drop deeper into their feminine, their relationship with themselves, intimacy, vulnerability, you know, confidence, empowerment, all of that stuff. So I would love to begin because I feel a lot of us come into teaching this work through our own personal experiences, obviously. And I would love to know where this either began with you or how you kind of came into this experience of working on this within yourself and therefore now teaching this to people through the work that you do.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good question to start with because, you know, most people who are in their line of work, you know, they're in that line because they went through some pain and suffering themselves. So I guess for me, 2 to 3 years ago, I was just a mess. I was living in Sydney and I was working in a corporate job and just were overworking, long hours, drinking a lot of coffee and alcohol and, you know, going out partying a lot. And because I was new in Sydney, so I started at a new job and I ended up in a relationship with somebody who I definitely shouldn't have been in a relationship at the time. But when you're in a vulnerable situation, you tend to just sort of find yourself in these situations where you're relying on other people. And at the time, you know, I'd just come back from spending two years, I think it was, in London. And so I was sort of still on that joyride. So I came back and got this job in Sydney, found myself in a relationship. And I didn't know it was going to be a really toxic, disempowering relationship at the time. You never do before you get into these sort of things. But he was also my boss, and that's what made it really sticky at the time. And although the relationship was only 12 months, I think, so it was a relatively short relationship, it was destructive on so many levels. I found out, like, throughout the relationship, he was very controlling, very manipulative. I just became very submissive, and my self-esteem went down. I felt trapped more than anything. It turned out to be quite an abusive relationship. And when you're in that situation, it's so hard to get out. You know, you're stuck. You don't want to tell anyone either. You know, you don't want other people, because then you feel pressure to get out, and then you've already got the pressure from yourself, and you know something's not right, but you're kind of just going with it because you're stuck. And I totally compromised my worth and my value. My whole body was just, I think I was about 10 kilos heavier than my ideal weight. So I started packing on the weight just to protect myself. I couldn't breathe properly, and I had a lot of anxiety. I had bad skin. I found myself just completely, like, on a body level, you know, I was constipated. So I was constantly, like, holding in all this tension, because at the end of the day, I was scared, you know, I couldn't leave, and I really needed help. And it was not until I went to a Tony Robbins seminar, actually. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Tony Robbins. Yep.
Yeah, beautiful. So an Unleashing the Power Within workshop with my parents. And, I mean, it's just a total immersion of, like, everything. So at the time I was, like, in the peak of the abusive relationship, and he was verbally abusive and emotionally manipulative, and, you know, I just kind of I closed up completely, and I thought it was okay, you know. I just sort of kept telling myself it was okay. And went to Tony Robbins, and it just opened my eyes. It woke me up, and I realized that, hell, I've got to get out of here. How do I do this? You know, he's my boss. I was scared to leave because then, you know, how am I going to pay rent? What if I can't work at the company anymore? It was just fear overload, you know. So it was not, I think after the seminar, it took me about 3 months to sort of pave my way out of the relationship. And in that time, I really had to build a support network around me and sort of get some women, you know, family members and friends on my team to help me escape in a way. And I did it. Yeah. And it was just, and then that's the start of my transformation, I guess, was, you know, saying no and making a decision to heal myself, to get out and to, yeah, just get out of this controlling situation. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's why where I am today. You know, after the breakup, I had a whole bunch of friends come to me and want relationship advice, and they were, you know, a lot of people were in similar situations and needed help escaping abusive relationships. And then then I went and did some Tony Robbins relationship coaching, decided to take it up as a profession, because, you know, you can't help people unless you've really gone through it yourself.
Do you feel that when you're in those situations sometimes, like you were, where we've compromised on our worth and we're settling for less than we deserve, and we're being treated in a way, you know, that we, that is destructive to us. Do you think sometimes we don't even realize that it's happening? Like, were you in there kind of not even realizing you were compromising your self-worth in that moment?
Yeah, and it wasn't until the Tony Robbins seminar that I actually realized, because when you're in the situation, your head's up in the clouds. You can't see. You can't see your way out. You can't see where you're going, you know, and that's why you need somebody to help you, whether that is a coach, whether that is a family member or a friend, to help you, you know, get rid of the clouds that you're up in with where your head is. And because they see the bigger picture, you know, and that's what saved me, was, you know, other people going, "Oh, Rosie, are you okay? You know, is everything?" Because they saw me become very timid and introverted and submissive, and And, you know, I didn't really realize, because over a long period of time, you don't realize. But it was when I went back up to Brisbane to visit some friends. I put him on speakerphone one day around when I was around about three of my girlfriends. And they were like, whoa, Rosie, you need to get out of there. And that was the first time I'd really shown anyone what was going on.
And then obviously this process has really caused you to now strengthen and really embody more of this empowering feminine energy, you know, mm-hmm. this woman who knows her worth and knows her value and knows what she deserves and yeah. treats herself with respect and receives that, you know, from the world. How did you really start to strengthen that aspect of it, kind of going from a woman who to some extent was a bit broken, you know, and mm-hmm. a lot of us reach points where we're broken within ourselves, whether we've had setbacks in our career and our confidence is shot, or we've been dumped, or our relationship mm-hmm. has been really destructive, whatever it is. How did you then sort of start to rebuild that confidence mm-hmm. and that self-worth within yourself?
Well, For probably about 2 months after the breakup, I was just in my own world. I was on a high. I loved my own time. Like, I would just, because he would want to spend every single night together and wouldn't let me spend any time alone by myself. And we worked together, so it was 24 hours a day. And so I just relished in my newfound time to myself and sitting in bed and reading a book and, you know, writing blog articles. This is when I started my blog. I couldn't write articles at the time because he didn't like the fact that I used to write articles about love and relationships and sex and stuff, because he was obviously scared I'd write about him, which I, of course, I have. But, you know, it's, after that, I got into yoga and, you know, I'd been working out at the gym like crazy and my weight just kept going up and up and up, and I'm thinking, what am I doing, you know? So I started going to yoga, and that's where the healing began. I started, you know, practicing every day, and I ended up going over to India with a friend to do some yoga training. But probably after, you know, probably 6 months or so after the breakup, you know, I went from being that submissive feminine when I was in the relationship to him to kind of the other extreme. I went really masculine and super sort of protective of myself, and everything from what I was doing to what I was wearing, I really became masculine and yet not in a healthy way though. So I've definitely been through the ups and the downs since. And sort of now coming into the more present moment is I've dropped out of that unhealthy masculine, and now I'm feeling a lot more embodied in my feminine, where I was not at all, you know, 1 or 2 years ago.
Can we explore, just for people who are a bit confused about, you know, their, because we all have both masculine and feminine energy within us. How do you kind of, because everyone's got different ways they describe it, but how do you kind of describe how the masculine manifests in a woman and how the feminine manifests in a woman?
Masculine, I guess, you know, masculine, very, it serves you. It really does. And there's nothing wrong with being masculine. Because, you know, if I wasn't masculine, I wouldn't have done so well in my job and made the money that I did, and I really got shit done, and you're productive and you're competitive and you're out there, you know, running in the rat race kind of thing. And so the masculine's very supportive for survival, and so I definitely honour that. It's kind of when you just get stuck in there and you can't let go and relax and receive, that's when it becomes a problem. For the divine feminine, it's more, you know, you're still getting your stuff done, but it's in a more kind of conducive way. I guess it's a little bit more flowing. You're more gentle on yourself. You're less sort of feel the pressure. You're more open. You're more nurturing. You know, you take your own time just to lie down if you need to, or have a hot bath, or... Yeah, so, I mean, it depends from the way you feel on the inside to the way you dress and your hairstyle, and it's absolutely everything. It's not just, you know, the feelings. You yourself, you can tell a person, well, I can tell, you know, if I'm just walking along the beach in the morning on my morning walk, you can kind of pick who's feminine and who's in their masculine, who's in their feminine. And that's kind of where, and Tony Robbins talks about it a lot in relationships, when there's an imbalance, so when the feminine's in her masculine and when the man's in the feminine, you know, it's an imbalance, and that's what causes a lot of relationship issues.
You know, I've had to do a lot of work over the past 6 months. I've been working with a coach on this type of stuff, and you know, because I have a lot of masculine tendencies in that, you know, I can get really driven around my work and kind of very single focused and just get really on a mission and push. And I noticed I had a relationship earlier in the year. It was just sort of a short 3 month thing, but he was very in his masculine, and it really, I was like, oh wow, if I'm going to be in this thing, I've got to drop a little into my feminine, because this isn't going to work. And I didn't even realize how in the dynamic with a man, I was still playing the strong, independent female, which is very in the masculine. And I'm independent, and I'm self-sufficient, and I'm driven, and I'm ambitious, you know. And I thought that was a powerful thing to some extent, but it was almost like a fake power. It caused me to be aloof, and it caused me to be a little bit arrogant, and almost to make him feel like he wasn't needed, right?
Yeah. He won't feel like he's, what can he do? What can he bring to the table? You're already wearing the pants, you know? So that's really interesting, isn't it? And you're just going to butt heads.
Yeah.
If you don't sort of soften into the feminine, and that's not about being submissive by any means. It's just about letting him, you know, make decisions and letting him, you know, take you away for the weekend and not have to ask, oh, honey, where do you want to go, or what do you want to do? Just let him, be that powerful man who can make decisions and, you know, lead the way in a way. We all like to be taken care of, but we have to let them take care of us in a way, and let go to be receptive and receive. Yeah.
I think receiving is such a massive aspect of this, particularly for us women who are very, you know, action-focused and driven, to then have to sit in a space of receiving, of kind of stepping back, opening up, surrendering a little, and receiving. Again, he taught me a lot about that, and I really struggled with it initially. If someone, say, you know, struggling with this whole, how do I kind of get into this space of receiving and this softness and this vulnerability and this openness and letting go of control? How do you support people to start on that process if it's something that's really foreign to them?
You know, well, first of all, I'd say come to my sexy yoga class on Wednesday night and you will open and receive, girlfriend. So, but if they can't do that, it's honestly about, okay, well, where can you create more space in your life, in your day-to-day life, to honor the feminine? And, you know, that can be going to a yoga class, but maybe not a yang yoga class, power yoga or Bikram. Maybe go to a yin and allow your body to pry open nice and slowly. And, you know, or is there, like, instead of going for a run in the morning, why don't you go for a walk? Or why don't you just go put your feet in the water? You know, journaling, doing something creative, you know, create a vision board. Or I've just had a client who, she's really, really artistic, but has just been in her masculine for so long, and she can't get anything out. She can't write, she can't draw, nothing. And so I said to her, okay, well, why don't you turn on some music and dance around your apartment naked? You know, or it doesn't have to be naked, but just, you know, just dance. Just let the flow come into your body, listen to the music, feel into it. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And then, you know, I got an email the next morning. She goes, oh, my God, Rosie, for the first time in years, I let my hair down, I closed the curtains, I put on a sexy song, and I danced naked in my room. And then the week later, she'd been struggling to draw anything for months. She sent me a picture of a beautiful palm tree that she had drawn. And, you know, for me, that's just transformational. And that's, you know, she's coming back into her feminine, finding her beautiful creative juices and letting it flow.
I love that. That was one of my practices this year, in that I used to wake up in the morning and journal. And without realizing, I would get into quite a heady space with my journaling. Uh-huh. So I completely canned that. And part of what I was practicing with my coach was, yeah, morning dance sessions. So first thing in the morning is the iPod in with music that just I can't help but move my body when I'm playing it. Yeah, candles, underwear, whatever I feel like wearing. Sometimes just a crop top and shorts or whatever. But there's usually some skin involved, messy hair, and just hips. You know, I get into my hips and I move slowly and I get soft and I get sensual. And that has been the minute that I feel too rigid or too in my head, that is the practice that completely drops me out of it.
Mm, and you know what? That's it. With journaling, you can get up in your head. Mm. Like this lady that I was talking about, she said she'd write a sentence and it wouldn't be perfect and she'd rip it out and start again.
I've done that.
Though no one is going to read that ever.
Yeah.
and that leads on to like perfectionism. A lot of women, you know, who are very driven and ambitious, they're also big perfectionists and control freaks and they can't let themselves go. And for me, and I was really feeling into this last night, perfectionism kills expression. Mm-hmm. You know, you're already perfect and, you know, whatever it is that you need to do is just going to be, you know, if you're going to be wanting it to be perfect, it's going to kill your creative expression. So just, and, you know, and that is what I work with a lot with women is just allowing yourself to not have to be, you know, in, I guess, perfect and have it all in your mind, you know, perfect.
I think sometimes it's nice with the feminine to let it get messy. Like if I'm going to paint, like this is not normal painting. Like there is paint in my hair, on my face. I've like got music playing. I'm like in these weird clothes. Like it is, and I have to put cloths everywhere because I will throw paint around the house.
I love that.
Yeah.
Embrace imperfection.
Yeah.
Mm. Because that's where the good stuff is.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. And I loved also just what you shared at the start when you were talking about really reconnecting with you. I feel it's as well the feminine is a process of listening and actually receiving from ourselves. Like you kind of said, you know, you started to tune into what made you feel good, what you loved, you know, noticing, oh, I love yoga, oh, I love, you know, doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like a lot of women have even lost the ability to tune in and listen to ourselves and feel and receive from ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just in the way the world is at the moment, and I was there as well, is that sort of disconnect with your body. And I love that there's so many beautiful coaches out there now who talk so much about embodiment and coming into your body. And a lot of the time when I'm coaching, I do ask, you know, where do you feel that? And, you know, if they say, I have no idea, you know, they're so disconnected to their body. And then that's where my guided meditations come in and let's drop in. And it just helps you pinpoint where you're at, where you're going, and listening within, not just listening without, you know, because you'll get signs from your body. And I'm a firm believer, obviously Louise Hay's just amazing, and you know, listening to your body and what it's asking of you and telling you and really tuning into that.
I completely agree with you. I've been feeling guided to do a lot of work with people's bodies as well, particularly mm-hmm. women, and we hold on so much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that causes quite a lot of the masculine rigid energy is when we're trying to hold it all together.
Yeah.
And you've probably experienced this with women when they finally have an emotional release, how much we soften when we cry or when we let ourselves be vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, holding your shit together is seriously strenuous. You know, you're just putting on this show all the time. I've got it all together. Everything's under control. And then losing your shit is just amazing. And I'm sure you've probably seen Vanessa Florence's video, her Wild Woman, where she, if anyone hasn't watched Vanessa Florence's Unleashing the Wild Woman, oh, my God. You know, if you're just holding everything together and, you know, putting on that show, you know, putting on a song and just dancing it out and screaming and letting it all go, and then it creates space for what we really need to do, what needs to flow through you, your message. You know, if you're holding it all in all the time, it's just going to literally constipate you and cause tension. Yeah.
And how much, I mean, this impacts the dynamic between the masculine and the feminine so much, you know, in men. My experience, you know, from my last relationship, that was part of my thing. So I would play this role of being this strong, independent woman who's got her shit together and is totally cool. So again, the man has no role to come and support me because, you know, I don't need your support, dude. I've got it all together. Yet the moments that I would allow myself to be vulnerable with him and need him and maybe cry and maybe get a bit emotional and maybe not have it together and say, can you just hold me? You just watch a man rise in that situation, right?
They just melt, you know, when they feel needed, when you allow them to be masculine and it's, they completely shift. Mm. You know, a man doesn't want to, actually, I went on a Tinder date a couple of, I think it was probably 3 or 4 months ago, and he said something to me that just triggered the crap out of me. He's like, oh. Because I was telling him what I do, which I do not like to tell too many people because it just gives them the wrong idea and, you know, then they ask too many questions. And he's like, oh, empowerment, women's empowerment. Oh. You know, he kind of rolled his eyes. And I was like, whoa, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, I want a woman who is a lady and who's someone like my mom and my sister who are just really soft, gentle, someone you can bring home. And, you know, of course I want her to be sort of successful in what she's doing and stuff, but he was basically saying he wants a feminine woman. I got offended about the empowerment comment for sure, but the fact that he wanted to be the man in the relationship, I kind of admired that in a way, and because he does, you know, there are a lot of women out there who just, you know, they're just on their little control path and they don't need anyone, they're not willing to open and receive. So I think, yeah, a lot of men are really wanting women who want to be that feminine embodiment, that divine feminine, and allow them. And then that filters into so much more into your sex life as well, you know. This, you allow yourself to feel held during the lovemaking. And for him to sort of hold you during that beautiful process, it's just, it's incredible. And it filters into all other areas of the relationship as well.
You know, I kind of do have a bit of an opinion on what that guy said about, you know, women's empowerment, because I think some of us have taken it almost that level too far of, you know, there's a difference between being deeply empowered and soft and being deeply empowered and overbearing or too strong or, you know, as we've been talking about, putting men out of the role. But yeah, let's dive into this conversation around sexuality, because this is both a woman being able to be vulnerable and intimate with herself and also with a man. And, you know, from my personal experience, just reflecting on the relationship I had, which was a 3.5-year relationship, which ended at the end of last year, I was very much in control in that relationship. And he was younger than me, and I often was quite in control sexually. I made a lot of decisions in the relationship. You know, I was really the leader. And when I came into this one that was earlier in the year, it was so different. Sexually, he would hold me under my shoulders and under my hips. So I was almost actually, sorry, I'm being a little bit, you know, open, but oh well, whatever.
Don't apologize. No,
you know,
way.
I was actually almost held off the bed for most of the time. And his face was right in my face. It was very intimate. And I had very little control in that situation. But I think something like that, for a woman to let herself be, you know, as you said, held, not be the leader, like, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always attracted feminine men, because I was in my masculine.
Yeah.
And I actually had, I went to the Tony Robbins seminar I went to last year was called Date with Destiny. And Tony did an intervention with me, and it was mortifying getting up 3,000 people. And he just picked me out of the crowd. You know, a lot of people were volunteering, and I was like, no. But I happened to be sitting pretty much in the front row. And he said to me, he's like, what do you value in a relationship? The first thing that came out of my mouth was freedom. And he just looks at me, and I mean, it was everything. It was what I was wearing and my body language. I was really defensive and in my masculine. And he goes, okay, what does that mean for you? And I was like, you know, don't text me, don't call me, just let me do my thing. And, you know, I'll call on you when I need you kind of thing. And he was like, whoa. he was like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's a woman in her masculine. And from there, at least that sort of woke me up to, you know, my situation. But coming back to sexuality, you know, I'd always been with the feminine man. But this year, since dropping into my feminine, it's amazing how much I've attracted the opposite, like a really empowered man who knows what he wants. And but not just, you know, and not a man, and there's a difference between a man, a masculine man, and, you know, the unhealthy masculine and the healthy masculine. Yes. You know, that ego versus, you know, someone who's just can take care of you and who's confident and stuff like that. But in a sexual, I guess, aspect, yeah, the sex is just, it's magnetic, you know, and it's like you're the liquid and he's the container. And to me, that's just gooey, you know.
Like, oh yeah,
you can just flow and you feel, that you're contained. You can kind of let loose, but you at the same time, you're totally safe to do that as well.
I think for a lot of women, their relationship with their body gets in the way of them letting themselves be completely free in a sexual situation or even with themselves or in general. How do you support women to really, you know, I mean, it's there's a big process to it, but really come into their bodies and feel safe and okay in their bodies and in their skin, you know? Mm-hmm. So many of us have such messed up relationships with our bodies.
Absolutely. Body image is massive, really, really big. And yeah, especially for women. And one of my first clients that I had a few years ago, it was if she was having sex with her partner, all the lights had to be out and she would never be on top. And, you know, that's just completely, she didn't like the way her body looked and she didn't want him to see it. And, you know, being on top, you know, it is vulnerable and it's confronting and it's intense. But you can also, that's a beautiful opportunity for you to sort of drop in and you know, allow yourself to take that control as well. But my advice to her at the time was to really start to love parts of your body and do this through, you know, when you're in the shower and washing your body, how do you wash your body? You know, just are you rough or are you soft? Mm-hmm. And when you're doing it, you know, think of affirmations that you can say. Start looking in the mirror and observe what your language is to yourself. And, you know, it can just pick a part on your body that you do love. Maybe it's your hair, maybe it's your fingernails, maybe it's your toes or your bottom, and then pick that and then go, yeah, I really love that part of my body. And then sort of gradually, day by day, week by week, you know, look at other parts and just rub it softly with your hand or, you know, put essential oils on, have a hot bath and start to just feel your body and start to, and begin to just embrace it as it is and know that you're in this body in this lifetime for a reason. You can't change it. I mean, you can try, but the sooner you start to drop into that and accept it and love it, the more you can get on with your message and your purpose here in life, and the more you can have beautiful sex with your partner. And but also the onus is also on the male to encourage her and you know, and to let her know that she is beautiful, and that she's worthy, and you know that he loves the way you look in this dress or, you know, during lovemaking or whatever. But at the end of the day, it is all about you and your own opinion of your body. And, you know, coming in and doing some beautiful self-pleasure exercises with yourself, you know, taking masturbation and self-pleasure and moving it into a beautiful loving meditation, like a self-love meditation. Mm. For me, that's what's helped me really love myself even more and my body and my sexuality, you know, yeah, doing either daily or, you know, a couple of times a week, self-pleasuring yourself with just loving tender touch. That it's amazing how much that can filter into the rest of your physical body, but also, you know, within.
And I think part of that is as well as embracing what it means to be a woman in that, you know, I've struggled with eating disorders through my 20s and I coach a lot of women who have, and, you know, we have these unrealistic images of stick figures for women. And I was starting this process similar to what you're talking about of sitting in my undies, and I'd get out my coconut oil and I would just massage every part of my body from my toes all the way up to my neck, my face, and just really bring love to that process. And I realized as I was massaging my bum and my hips and my belly, I'm like, I'm soft and I'm meant to be soft. I'm meant to be squishy. I'm not meant to be hard and bony. This is, you know, boobs are soft, bums are soft, and they're squishy. And this is what it's meant to be like. And I think even, you know, what you're talking about masturbation and stuff, it's actually, you know, explore being a woman, you know, those parts of yourself that make you a woman. I think a lot of us can feel a bit ashamed, you know, I've got a roll on my belly, or, you know, is everything down there looking the same as everyone else, or, you know, my nipples are funny or whatever. I love what you shared about that. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's just self-pleasure and self-exploration is key to loving yourself more. And the more you love yourself, the more you know, your partner will you know, really benefit from that as well. If you're constantly putting yourself down or going, oh, I don't like the way I look, or, you know, that just pretty much sends out signals to the masculine, to your partner, that you're just not happy. And, you know, it's amazing how much, that those self-practices can filter into the whole and the rest of your whole life. And, self-pleasure, I love doing it nearly every single day, because it is just a self-love practice when you bring it down to it. And I mean, that's what I give a lot of women for homework as well.
Yeah.
To try that. And if they're really comfortable, you know, getting a mirror out and doing it in front of that as well, because a lot of women disconnect from their yonis and they don't want to look at it, and they just, like, from the, you know, the hips down is just, you know, that's kind of taboo, and that's for my partner and not for you. But, you know, bringing it back to loving it yourself. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. And that kind of flows onto the idea of being single. Now, this, you can obviously be doing that if you're in relationships as well, but I want to talk about the idea of being single, and even if you're not in a relationship, it doesn't mean you don't have to be exploring your sexuality. I think it's a shame if we kind of go, oh, I'm not in a relationship, therefore I just have to not think about sex or my sexuality, you know. And you, I love in your bio, like, how much of a advocate you are for being single, because so many women hate it and resist being single and think there's something wrong with them. And, you know, I'm 32, so, you know, sometimes I've got friends, we get into our 30s and we're like, there's something wrong with me because I'm not in a relationship, I'm broken, there's no good men out there, etc. Yeah. What's been your experience about really reveling in this being single experience?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's been an up and down journey. You know, I've loved it and I've hated it at times. But I've just learned to love it more and more. My journey with it, I guess, you know, it's only really been this year that I have just been completely happy being single. I posted on my Facebook yesterday, actually, a comment that my guru in Bali told me. He said, Rosie, be single as a choice. Don't be single because of the lack of options or because you're a victim of being single. For me, that just resonated, and it really brought me to tears. I was like, wow, I've been such a victim of being single. And it helped me. He said, you know, being single should be a beautiful opportunity for you to explore yourself and to, you know, release the energy of ex-partners and to infuse more love into your friends and family and your career as well. I mean, I don't think I would be where I am and what I'm doing right now if I wasn't single. I mean, being in a relationship, relationships take a lot of energy, and not necessarily, you know, all your energy or bad energy, but they do take a lot of time because, you know, at nights you want to spend together and quality time. And so I think for me, being single has actually helped me build my my blogs, my coaching, my workshops, you know, my yoga endeavors. So I've been able to focus on that, and I've been able to explore myself sexually. You know, I know what I love, I know what I don't like, and I know, and Tinder's a great example, because I've gone out on dates on Tinder and I really tune into the energy. I'm like, how does this person make me feel? And do I like it or don't I like it? And then if I don't, I just simply end it right there, not right there and then, or like if they ask me out again, I'll be like, oh, no, thank you. But, you know, and it's a practice of saying no, because I feel like for me, I've really become sexually empowered being single. And being sexually empowered, it's the ability to say no when you don't want, you know, when you don't want to. And also, excuse me, and you know, the ability to say yes and not feel guilty. So, I mean, for me, it's just helped me build my identity again. It's helped me change my environment and my home and my job to doing and being somewhere that I'm really happy. I can rely on myself, you know, and in an independent way. But I'm also, I'm totally receptive to help and support. And it's amazing. You know, yesterday, for example, I was, and because I'm new in Perth, I've only lived here for a month or 2 months nearly. I said, you know what? It'd be really nice to have a really good group of girlfriends here. I really, that's what I want to manifest, because I've got my family here and that's great. But, you know, I really want to build on that. Literally a few hours later, I had two or three messages from Perth girls who'd just come out of the woodwork and were like, you know, Rosie, let's catch up for coffee, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, it's a beautiful time to really take for yourself, take yourself on dates, you know, and just know that when you're not looking, you'll come along. You know, don't wait around for love or that happy ever after. Just live and embody yourself and do what you want to do. And then when you're on that journey, you know, it'll all just fall into place.
I love what you've shared, because I think it's just shifting the perspective around being single and for women to start to see the real beauty and opportunity in it. I've just moved into a place on my own and I'm not in a relationship, and I do yoga in my undies in the morning out in the lounge room, and I some nights I'll just do dance sessions in my bedroom, or I'll pull out my oracle cards and crystals and do woo-woo stuff. And and I sit there and I'm like, this is all stuff I could not do if a man was here, or I'd need to go and do it in a separate room while he's watching TV or whatever. I'm like, how lucky am I to have this precious time with myself? And I feel like I'm actually falling quite deeply in love with myself. It's quite a profound feeling to feel that sense of being in love, but it's not for anyone. And I'm really dropping into that space, and it's just holding that feeling within myself and feeling very full, and knowing that when someone comes, you then I'm going to be overflowing that love onto them rather than needing their love to make me feel whole.
Oh, 100%, Connie, that is amazing that you feel that and have come into that space. It's just so yummy. And that's also something, when you are going into a relationship or, you know, dating, it's really nice to talk about, well, you know, where you're at, but also your values. And that was one thing with the relationship in Sydney. You know, his idea of a relationship was you become one. You know, you're just one entity, you know, one circle. If you have it. Whereas I was like, and this was at the end, we discussed this right at the end of the relationship. And I said, well, no, actually, I believe we're two circles and we're both, you know, independent and doing our own thing and have our life. But and then when we come together, we make a bigger circle. But, you know, we also can break off and be our own independent people as well. And I think that, you know, when being single is a beautiful opportunity to build that beautiful circle. And yeah, like you said, feel full in yourself, that you don't need anyone to fill up your cup for you. It's just an extremely beautiful, beautiful feeling, because, you know, when you're full and when you feel that that energy within yourself, you naturally anyone you attract into your life is a reflection of you. And I fully believe that, you know, whoever your friend, you're a collective, you're a reflection of the collective around you, your friends or, you know, your partner, whoever, whatever male or female or whatever is you're attracting into your life is a reflection of you.
Mm. Yeah. And the man that, yeah, then comes in is, you know, we, as women, we also want men who feel whole and good within themselves, who also mm-hmm. aren't creating that codependency with us and needing us for, you know, to boost their ego or make them feel good about themselves. And so it goes both ways. We're not only filling ourselves up, but we know we're going to be creating a really wholesome man to come into our life then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to me, I mean, there's nothing, I can't stand a man who... you know, the men who kind of get bored on their own.
Yes. Like, yes.
I don't know. I never am ever bored. I'm always, you know, doing something, or there's something, a little project that I'm working on, or, you know, and if I'm not, then I just go and have some quality me time. But if there's a guy who's needy and needs me to entertain him, because that's what that relationship was like in Sydney. It was just constantly me. I need you to entertain me you know, like a play buddy. Oh, you know, I want to, yeah, definitely want a man who's on his own journey and on his own path and yeah, at the same level as me, where, you know, you're feeling full and you don't need anyone to fix you or entertain you.
Beautiful. Can we also, just as a final note, touch on the experience of healing from breakups? Because you probably coach a lot of people on this, and I hear it a lot, and I've gone through two significant breakups over the past sort of 10 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. How do you support people on that journey? Because, you know, it's massive, particularly when we still have attachments to our exes. We have all these emotions coming up, whether it's rejection, abandonment, not being good enough, you know, whatever's going on. How do you support people who are in that healing process?
One of the things that I do with clients is that energetic cord cutting, because a lot of people hold on, and then, but they might not even realize that they're holding on to it, or them. So something that I do is bring in that ex-partner that they're sort of reeling over, or whatever the situation might be. And I get them doing a meditation. So they envision themselves as their higher self, so the best version of Connie, you know, your divine higher being. You know, imagine her sitting there in this beautiful white room, or wherever it might be a rainforest or the beach. You know, you're sitting or you're standing, and really get a good visual of what you look like, what you're wearing, where you're at, and then how you're feeling. And then bring him in, and his high self. Bring him and his higher self, his best version of him. And, you know, sit him down in front of you, and then just talk to him. You know, tell him what, and this can go both ways, this can go male to female as well, what you feel, how much they hurt you, or felt betrayal, or that fear, or that blame, and that guilt and shame. And really just let it out. And you might yell and scream in your meditation, or in your mind. Or you might just be really, you find that you're really calm and collected, and you're just literally just telling them how it is. You know, saying all the things that maybe you didn't get the opportunity to say. Mm-hmm. So really letting all of that out, and then just seeing if they have a response. You know, you're in your higher self, so this is all coming from, you know, your divine being, not necessarily from you, and he will respond in some way. And this is what I had to do with my relationship, because there was a lot of stuff that was left over and he kept popping into my mind and everything. So this really helped heal me and that relationship and letting him go. And so he responded with, you know, something like, I'm sorry, I didn't know any better, I really loved you, but I didn't know how to show that. And you know, once you've really had that conversation together and you've forgiven and you've let it go, you give them a hug, or you, whatever feels good for you, maybe a kiss on the cheek, a hug, an embrace, or just, you just literally wave goodbye. And then when you sort of stand up and you go to say goodbye to each other, watch him, you know, watch him walk away. and fade into the distance and really feel him leaving your energy circle, your bubble. And maybe you'll see a cord or a link there, and then I invite my client to just chop it, you know, chop it with a pair of scissors, a knife, a machete, whatever, and just really cut that cord and visualize that cord that connects you to them energetically or emotionally or physically even. And, yeah, and watch it drop. Watch it dissolve. Watch it, and it might explode. You know, I love, you know, let people's imagination go wild. And then, you know, I've done this two or three times with some different men that have come in and out of my life. And each time afterwards, I've heard from them. Like, they've felt it. They've felt the disconnect, and they've actually texted, or I had 5 missed calls when I came out of the session, or whatever. So it's actually extremely powerful. And I had my client do it the other day. And I just said to her, loosely, you know, really casually, well, you know, just to be mindful if he does end up calling you. And she texted me later that day and she said, you would not believe he actually called me. And I said, there you go. It is powerful. That's one way I deal with, you know, that breakup and divorce and letting go of the person that you're holding on to.
I absolutely love that. I think that's so beautiful. And that brings in the perspective of remembering that this person is a beautiful teacher for you, and there's opportunities for learning and growth there, and you can have that conversation in a higher realm to kind of get that closure without having to stay, you know, in the lower level energies of reactivity and hurt and blame and judgment. It's let's see it from a higher perspective and get the lesson and learning from that, and then release that person.
Absolutely. And it's removing yourself from being victim.
Yes.
Because that's disempowering, you know.
Yes.
Take responsibility and stop blaming them for the hurt and pain that they're suffering, that they're causing in your life.
Yeah.
You actually are responsible for that, your own happiness. So absolutely, it's extremely empowering process. And forgiving more than anything, just forgive them. They're only human.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Rosie, this has been the most incredible conversation. I'm just looking at the time, and I could just keep talking to you for so long about this.
You too.
It's such a passion of mine, and I think everything you've shared is really, really powerful. And you know, I think one of the biggest things I feel to share about this, which has been my biggest lesson, is softness. That's the word that just keeps coming to me, is I keep going into empowered feminine, and I need to go into soft feminine. And I just really want to encourage women to take all of this on and just drop into that beautiful, soft, surrendered, vulnerable space, because it's magnetic to the masculine, as you've shared.
And it can look like anything as well. Like, it doesn't, you know, if it's just maybe try some nude yoga. You wouldn't believe how much that does soften you. Have a hot bath. Let your hair out. You know, have a long walk along the ocean and paint your toenails, whatever. Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to share with us about stuff that you're working on, stuff that's coming up, what we can expect from you over the coming months?
I've got a workshop this weekend, and it's in Perth and at Twisting Peacock Studio, and we're doing a 3-hour workshop on raising your sexual energy, or moving, I should say moving your sexual energy, because a lot of us have that sort of either an overactive sacral chakra or an underactive sacral chakra. So you might find if it's overactive, you've quite, you know, maybe you're a bit promiscuous, or, you know, you have a really high sex drive, or maybe, you know, it's just a bit out of balance. Or if it's underactive, you know, it might be stagnant and you might be not allowing yourself to open and receive from anyone. So it's about taming the beast, but also awakening the beast. So it depends where your sacral chakra is at. And we're doing that through, you know, a beautiful sacred circle, kundalini yoga, breath work, guided meditation. I'm going to bring some drums in and do some sound healing. So it's very similar to the sexy yoga that I do on Wednesday nights, but it's just going to be longer and a bit more in depth, and you can meet like-minded women. So that's on this weekend, and I'm going to run them once a month, and I would love to be able to bring them to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane probably next year. So watch this space for womanergy. It seems to be just a growing thing, working on, And yeah, and I've got a new website coming out very, very soon. So I will be selling on there some beautiful jade eggs, which you can read up on my website about them. So that's the exciting stuff that's happening for me at the moment.
Awesome. That sounds so, so cool. I would love for you to bring one of those events to Sydney. That would just be awesome.
Beautiful. I will.
Thank you so much for your time, beautiful. This conversation has just been so powerful, and I really hope it supports so many women out there and even any men who want to listen to it and understand a little bit more about the workings of the feminine energy. So thank you so much for your time, and thank you to everyone who has tuned into this week's episode of Awaken Radio, and I look forward to talking to you again in our next episode. See you later. Bye.
Thanks, Connie.
Thank you, darling. Bye.
Bye.